19 and 21. Will Susan come and read it?
Today's scripture is taken from James 1, 19 to 21, and it reads, "Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." This is the word of the Lord. Sorry, I didn't realize it wasn't on. So hopefully you heard that, and we asked James the first question of why this passage from James 1, verse 19 is your favorite passage.
It's just a good guideline for living your everyday life when you interact with people, anybody, whether you meet them for the first time or you know them really well over, you know, your entire lifetime. It's just a good guideline. Listen to what they have to say. Talk, but then listen more, and then whatever they say, don't be angry, don't like just be overexcited and just take over the conversation. Listen.
James, you mentioned the word guidelines in your answer, and we all know we have different guidelines or people or books or resources to turn to on teaching us how to act. You know, the U.S. Constitution, or maybe our family members can guide us on how to act, or some people now go to the internet for solutions to things. But I'm curious then, why have you chosen the Bible to use as a guideline for your way of life?
Well, the Bible is eternal. It's the Word of God, and it's something that's good for all time. The Constitution for the United States, that just came into play a couple hundred years ago. There's so many things that come, may go, but the Bible is here with us all the time. And there's Dear Abby. You can always ask Dear Abby questions, but when does Dear Abby answer you? So just go with something that is there all the time and you can work with all the time.
I like that. Thank you. And then can you share then when this became or when you first remembered or knowing of this scripture passage?
It came to me as something to refer to all the time in junior high school. I had been going to church in elementary school. I was at FCBC, First Chinese Baptist Church. And in junior high school, that's when you're at your elementary school, you know everybody. Then you go to the junior high school and you don't know even half the people. And everyone's always trying to jockey to be the big guy on the campus, the guy that's popular and all this other stuff. So no one's really, I mean, at least with boys, I think, nobody's really listening to each other. They're just talking. So it's important that you try to get to know everybody, listen to what they have to say, listen to their story, get to know them, and then talk when, it's appropriate, reply, but don't always be the one that just talks, and then you walk away and it's like, yeah, I was talking to so-and-so, and he didn't say anything. Oh, well. So you want to be the one that is in the conversation and you learn something new, not someone that just talk, and then walked away and said, okay, I don't know. That just happened.
Yeah, it's nice to know that this is a scripture passage that's been with you even through your middle school years all the way now into adulthood. And so then I'm curious about, are there times more recently or in the past year or two that you've really relied on this scripture passage in your life?
Well, I use that every day in all my interactions with people because, yeah, I'm well-educated. Maybe I've got a lot of life experiences because I'm not that young. But everybody else has life experiences. Everybody else has education. Everybody else has smarts about something else. And when you talk to people, it's good to learn what they have to share to increase your knowledge, increase your experiences through listening to other people. So everybody, every time I speak to any of you, I'm not being super shy. I'm not out of it. When you're talking to me, I'm listening. And yeah, I'll talk back, but I'm usually wanting to listen more than I want to talk.
you for sharing that. And then now I'm also thinking about you as a parent have Katie, fifth grade, soon will be in middle school years, but even now as a later elementary age person, do you feel this scripture passage is something you would teach her or how you can help her apply it in her life as well?
Oh yes, especially for Katie and all the young people. You're young, you don't know much, you think you know a lot, you're learning a lot, and you may be doing well in school because you're able to figure things out, but you know, those are just things that you learn in a book. But a lot of the more important things about getting it along in life for the rest of your life doesn't come from a book. It comes from listening and talking to other people. And yeah, not just, I mean, it's important for you to relay your experiences and your feelings, but then try to listen to the older people because they've done a whole lot more and it's good information to know, and you can just figure out what works for you. Not everything works for you, but listen.
Thank you, James, for sharing with us this morning. Looks like James. So we're going to reflect further on this passage, but I first invite us to pray together. Lord, I ask that you guide my words and that these words speak the truth as you reveal it to us through the scriptures. And Lord, we know that each passage for each person has a special meaning, and we ask, Lord, that we focus on this passage this morning and that we open our hearts and minds to hear how it is speaking to us. We ask, Lord, that these reflections we have be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. So we're going to examine this passage from James 1, verse 19, a little bit further, and even go on to verses 20 and 21. So I think the next slide has the full verses 19 to 21. It might be the next after that, yeah. So I invite us now to read together this scripture passage, and the version is from the NIV, the New International Version. Let us read it together, this passage. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, rid all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Wonderful. So the scripture passage is an interesting passage. They call it the listening and doing passage. The gospel writer of James, the Apostle James, gives us both a direction of what we must do, the listening, and how we must fulfill that listening. They say that the author does these three verses, verse 19, 20, and 21, in what they call contrasting actions or contrasting elements. So in verse 19, the contrast is to be quick to listen, but slow to speak and be angry. In verse 20, the contrast is human anger with God's righteousness. And in verse 21, the contrast is a life of moral filth and evil versus a life with which we are saved and are humble. So the author of James does this very interesting thing when he's writing to the people. He knows he must get their attention. He knows, again, there has been conflict, but he specifically wants to address the inner character of each person. Now, James, the author, the Apostle James, he does things differently than the writer Paul in many of Paul's writings. In many of Paul's writings, Paul encourages unity, for everyone to work together as a whole church, to remind people they are the body united in Christ, and each part of the body is important. And Paul says if you don't work together as a whole body, then the church will fail. But here in the book of James, this author isn't saying concentrate on the whole body. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your fellow churchgoer. Don't worry about the religious leaders. Instead, worry about yourself and focus on yourself. So that is why James, especially in this passage from chapter 1, gives really specific instructions about inner reflection and how each person must be. Because James believes that if each person just focused on making themselves a better person, drawing closer to God and following God's path of righteousness, then of course the whole body will be okay. But it must be an inner focus first before you can think about a unity or whole body, as Paul often did in his writings. So in this passage, we do get from the author of James these complementary, these contrasting ideas. And let's go to the next slide to see the first contrasting ideas. The first is looking at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We see here contrasting actions, and the author does this on purpose. He gives us one action, quick to listen, being quick, but then he also gives us a contrasting action, slow, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because James knew that the people were fighting amongst themselves, they were fighting with their neighbors, they were fighting with within each other in the church, and he saw all this discord. But instead of speaking to the whole group, he is addressing each individual and pleading to them to follow this way of life. To first, of course, be quick to listen. Now, when someone is talking to you, we are, of course, always listening, but there are different types of listening. There is active listening, where you really, truly are hearing each word that is being said. You are reflecting on each word that is being said, and you are even thinking of a way to respond, but you are actively engaging with the person speaking to you. There is the type of passive listening where you're hearing what is being said, but you might not really be thinking of what is being said to you, and you really don't even care to respond, so you're not really reflecting or taking in the words that are said to you. I know many of us, when we were in college and we were lectured in the class, and you had maybe a two-hour class, maybe after that first hour you would hear the words of your professor, but you'd practice that passive listening, and you might not really think about what was being said, or you might not really reflect or figure out how this would help you in your studies. You were doing passive listening. And there is also even what they would call, in a way, aggressive listening, where yes, someone is speaking to you, but instead of being active or even being passive, you are aggressively listening because you want to argue back. You want to have a thing to say back. You want to have the last word. Are some of us like that, where we want to have the last word? If you ask Phil when I'm having a bad day, I'm like that sometimes. I want to have the last word. So I'm not really truly listening to what he is saying to me. I am instead thinking about ways I can respond or argue back. It's an aggressive type of listening. But what James is doing in this passage, he is saying don't be active, don't be passive, don't be aggressive, but just listen. Calm your heart, open your mind, and be slow to anger. Be slow to speak. Don't rush in with these actions, but instead be quick to listen. And being quick to listen, I think it's one of those things that is easier said than done. Our human nature is, yes, we are listening, but we are also automatically thinking about what we are going to say next. Or in a dialogue, if someone speaks to you, you don't want that awkward silence. Like if someone was saying, oh, how was your day? And they started to tell you about their day, and you don't want to just stare back at them when they then ask you how your day is. You want to respond, but you also really truly want to listen to what they are saying to you. So the first contrasting set of directions we get is to quick to listen, and then when we are quick to listen, we are able to speak, and we are able to not be as angry. We are slow to speak and slow to become angry. And the author, James, does this because he sees what was happening in the church. He sees what they would call the destructiveness that was happening in the church. And so he commands people to hold their tongue, but instead to listen with their ears. And when you hold your tongue, then you are slow to speak and you are slow to be angry as well. And so once he starts that first set of directions to them, the author then goes on to verse 20, and let's turn to the next slide, where we see, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So he's saying, I have told you to be quick to listen, which might be easy to do, but I've also told you to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. And he knows that it is harder for people to slow their anger, to hold that anger back, or that need to speak right away, to defend yourself or have that last word. So he's telling them why they must be slow to anger and slow to speak. He's saying you must do these things because in verse 20 we see that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. God desires in all of us a righteousness. If you remember last Sunday, we have the passage that was shared from Gaius, and it talked about living in God's righteousness, to not worry about the daily things in our lives, and to remember how the lilies of the valley are beautifully clothed, and how the birds of the air are fed, how God takes care of each and every one of us and sets us in a right life. And God's righteousness is living that right life and following his right ways. Sometimes when we hear the word righteousness, we think righteousness means being boastful or being conceited or being so proud that we see ourselves above other people. But that is not what God's righteousness is. God's righteousness is living right ways. It's loving one another. It's helping one another. It's being faithful to God. That's what it means to be in God's righteousness. And the author of James knew that the people were kind of living conflicting lives. They had contrasting wills in their life. There was the human will and nature to go for material things, or to argue with neighbors when they weren't getting their way, or to even fight within the church about how to best lead the church. It was human anger that was guiding many of the people. But instead, there was a call for inner reflection and inner review, and to not follow human anger, but instead follow God's desire for each and every one of those persons, and God's desire for each and every one of us, which is his righteousness. So let go of that human will for anger and hatred and retaliation, but instead go for the will of God, his ways and his righteousness and his desires. So you must remember first to be quick to listen, to open your ears and open your mind and slow your anger and slow your response to speak, or you're wanting to do that. And you must do that because we must not let human anger lead us, but instead let God's desires lead us. So when we are slow to respond or slow to have anger, then we let God's righteousness in. It's like making room for God's righteousness and love and ways of life for us. And James then tells the people, after you have been quick to listen and slow to anger and slow to speak back, and you have not let your human anger guide you, but the will of God be your will instead, then you are ready for the next part of your faith journey. And we see in the next verse, verse 21, where it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. For James knew that the people of his church were so angry with each other, angry with what was happening in their life, and they were letting this anger override them. And as he was giving them these instructions to be slow to anger and slow to speak, but also quick to listen, he was telling them that they must do these things, as I have said just a while ago, to let God's will be present in their life. But he knew that all of this was part of the trials they were facing in their life. Trials they were facing as a church, trials they were facing as neighbors, trials they were facing within their family. All these things were cluttering up their lives. And in our own lives, we face many, many trials. Each day you might have a situation at work that you are not happy with. Or you might have something happening in your home life that you want to change, or you're upset about, or even in your family life. I know there are so many things that we have that weigh heavily in our heart, and these are all trials that we face. And James is telling the people that the trials that they were facing, yes, you recognize them, but recognize them as they called the moral filth and the evil that is prevalent in the life. Because these are things that James believed were put in the people's life by evil and sin and Satan, and he didn't want these things to cloud their lives. It is understandable that these things are present in our lives and we cannot ignore them, but the way that we face them is listening and doing as God commands us to do. And then when you have these trials in your life, you can face them because you have an open heart and you have opened your ears and you have listened. You have been a good listener to how God speaks in your life. Instead, then you can focus on the relationships and the word of God that is put before us, and focus on the way God teaches us to be, to love one another, to forgive the stranger, to help each other out. We must do all these things to be saved. And James is reminding the people that they have the word of God right there before them, but they had been ignoring it. Instead, they had been following other ways of living. They had been following the rules of the government or what their neighbors were dictating. Or even today in our society, when we say, what laws do you follow? People might answer the U.S. Constitution, or they might answer what our teacher teaches us in school. But we should instead answer, the laws we follow are the words of God in the Holy Scripture. And that is exactly what James is telling the people to do. To follow the word of God and be saved because they believe in the word of God and they're living out the word of God. And then it's this nice, beautiful circle where you've had these contrasting wills and these contrasting actions and these contrasting transformations, but then you come back and you are transformed instead of, and we'll go to the next slide because it's the next verse, instead of having a life filled of moral filth and evil, you accept God's word and you are saved and you are back to full circle where you have listened to God's word, you have been quick to listen, and you are slow to anger and you are slow to speak. Because that is what James is telling the people they must do to solve their inner hurts and anger first before then they can work together as a body and a church. So in this morning's passage, we must remember to do those things and to still our hearts. And believe me, it works. It will give you a sense of peace and mind. This past week, I've been facing a jury duty. And I called in Friday, and I didn't have to report Monday, so yay. And I called in Monday, and I didn't have to report Tuesday, so yay. And then I called in Tuesday, and I had to report Wednesday. So I went in Wednesday morning, and they called. It was LA Courthouse, so it was a large jury room, probably nearly 300 of us in that room. And they called panel after panel after panel after panel. We went on a lunch break. We came back. They called another panel. And there were so few of us left in the room around 2:30 that they had to take roll call again to make sure they had enough for if another panel was needed. And so sure enough, took roll call again at 2:30 and calls another panel. And just my luck, I was on that panel. So you go to the courtroom, and really not much was done. We did called jury panel at 2:30, get to the courtroom 2:40. You state your name and your occupation, your spouse, if you have their occupation, if you've been a victim of a similar crime, and if you have any interaction with law enforcement. Just the basic questions we all answered. And then it was 3:15, end of the day, you're excused. We come back on Thursday, they ask us a little bit more detailed questions. The judge gives people who have a reason to be excused to come forward or reason to be postponed to come forward. And then the defense attorney starts her specific questions and we're done for the day. Come back again Friday. And then the prosecutor gives her questions. I was asked by the prosecutor, as an occupation being a minister, is there anything that my religion would prevent me from giving a fair judgment? Is there anything in my beliefs that would make me biased against the defendant? You know, very good questions. And I thought I would answer them in a I was truthful, but I was hoping that these answers would then help me be excused. because here's what happens if you've ever been on a jury panel. It's the usual routine. There was 35 of us. We're all given a number. I was 28. And after someone is excused or allowed to go back to the jury room and postpone to another date because they can't stay for this 5 to 7 day trial, then you, the 12 people in the juror box, if someone is excused, then you just move forward. You move up, you move up, you move up. And I thought I was okay. I was number 28. There's no way I'm going to be in that box of 12 or the two alternates, you know, 14. But every time someone got excused, I kept moving up a seat, up a seat, up a seat. So much so that by Friday, maybe before lunchtime, I was in seat 10 of the jury box. That many people had been excused. Oh, I'm sorry. I was in seat 8, and there was only 10 of us left. Because they had excused so many people. Because there's also a part right before the trial starts where each lawyer, without question, can say, juror number so-and-so, we thank you for your service, you're excused, and you just leave, and there's no explanation or no debate. So with only 10 of us, they then had to call down back to the jury room to send more people up. There were no more people to send up, so we were excused for the day, and I have to go back again tomorrow. The trial hasn't even started yet, and I've been on jury duty since Wednesday. But here's the thing. I know in my dealing with this trial, I was very frustrated. It took me away from church work. I have a big thing that's happening on Wednesday, and I thank Lucy and Aaron, who will be helping me with that event at church probably on Wednesday, since I will probably be on a court case. But I think my frustration and anger of being taken away from work, and Phil's grandfather is in town to celebrate his uncle's 50th birthday, and I might not be able to see him as much because I'm going to be stuck in the LA courthouse Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, if it goes all 5 days or more, that I just was so upset and so didn't want to talk to my fellow jurors, and I was given evil eye to the lawyers and to the judge and all those things. But I was also then reflecting on this passage that James had submitted to me, because that's all I could do. You have no cell phone service in there. You get a pad and you can write stuff down. So I was writing and just reflecting on the passage and just that verse 19 to remind myself to be quick to listen and just to listen what was happening in the case and to slow my anger and being upset and to slow my judgment and to be more at peace. And during that time, I did feel so peaceful. It was so great after I just really focused on that scripture passage probably about Thursday on, that even one of my fellow jurors had commented and said, "Oh, you're that person that's a minister, right?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, you seem very calm about all this." So I appreciate that, because I was truly letting the word of God lead my life. I was reflecting on myself, my inner self, and not letting all those obstacles and distractions happen in my life. And that is what James is saying to the people of the scripture passage. To remember that to be transformed as you are when you accept Christ in your life, you must follow God's ways and will. To be quick to listen, to really listen to who is speaking to you instead of worrying about what your response is. But to also to put God's righteousness first in your life and follow His will. And most of all, accept His word, the holy word of the scriptures, and to know and be comforted that you are then saved. And the fun thing is about that fellow juror who asked if I was a minister and complimented me on how peaceful I was, she asked what denomination I belong to, and I said United Methodist. And here is God's chill that come upon you. She's also United Methodist and attends Santa Monica First United Methodist Church. So I know her pastor, and she's going to say hi to the pastor for me today on Sunday. But that interaction, I think, would never have happened if I wasn't just calm and peaceful, and maybe I do tend to smile too much, stuck in that jury box. Because there were people, as they were moving up seat to seat to seat, who looked very unhappy, and you could tell many of them did not want to be there in jury duty. But the word of God fell upon me, and I pray that this week the word of God falls upon you as well, and you let God's will rule in your life and continue to be faithful to Him. Let us pray this prayer together on this last slide. Lord, help us to remember your word. So we be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. Open our hearts and ears so we may hear your love and grace. Temper our minds and wills so we may speak the truth in love and joy. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eva, for the message. Next, we will respond in our offering. Will the ushers please come forward? Please rise for the doxology. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your message. We thank you for your blessings on our lives. Teach us this week to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Thank you for blessing us with your word and for a relationship with you. We pray that our offering today will be used in our community and in the world to let others know of your saving grace, and we pray that you will use it to transform lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a number of announcements on the right-hand side of our bulletin. For highlights, today we are starting a new Girl Scout troop at our church. So we, Miss Gloria and I thank Pastor Eva for letting us have her Girl Scout troop here. It will be Troop 9011, and it's the troop that Bailey and Kristen grew up in. So we are looking for any girls that are interested, ages 5 through 17. Also, another highlight is the chicken dish cook-off on September 30th. So we pray, or we hope that anyone who is willing to cook a chicken dish, please let Jenny know. And for the cost, in order to taste the different chicken dishes, and I know we have many wonderful cooks here, it will be $15. For families of three or more, it will be $40. So that will be September 30th.
Do you have the book? So Jenny actually has the sample size of a cup. So your food item should hopefully will fit in that cup. If it's fried chicken, we'll cut it up. If it's chicken and dumplings, we'll pour it in. So that way, every church member can have a taste of it. And then also help us to encourage and invite Chinese service members to participate. I believe of the chefs we have signed up so far, it's only English ministry members. And I'll check with Yanni to see if she's had any Chinese service members. But if you have, a parent, hint, hint, that is in the Chinese service, or grandparent, or someone you know or are close to, and you know they are a very good cook, definitely invite them to participate and see Jenny or Yanni or myself, because it will be great to have different chicken dishes to try out. Thanks.
And for the chicken dish cook-off, the goal is to raise funds to cover the month of October, the Castellar parking. Any other announcements not listed in the bulletin?
We do invite visitors to stay after the worship service for the Sunday school hour. There is an adult Sunday school class that meets in the social hall right behind us, and children's ministry classes are upstairs. And then also we have tea and fellowship time around 12:30 when the Chinese service gets out, also in the social hall.
Okay, so we will next have our closing hymn. If you're able to rise, please do so.
Jesus loves me, this sign of, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, 'tis I know, as he loved so long ago. Taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give life and love to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. loves me, the Bible tells me so.